David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm so excited because we have one of our coaches back here today. She is part of our podcast community. She has her own show on our channel, and she is a writing coach, and she helps people to write books, how to learn how to write. And she is just an amazing person when it comes to the skill of writing. Today, Rebecca Vigas, our coach, wants to talk about legacy writing and how it can help prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. And so today she's really going to go deep down into the importance of legacy writing. Not only can it help us with lots of other things, and it can really bring a lot of education and storytelling, and it can really help people, you know, bond with other individuals. But today she's going to go and talk about Alzheimer's and dementia, which I think is an amazing topic. Now, for you, you know, tell everybody a little about yourself and how you started with legacy writing.
Legacy writing started probably 20 years ago when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a family gathering and I had a cousin walk up to me and hand me a little manila envelope, and I open it up and there is one page in it. And he said, now that you're retired and have time, you get to do the family history research.
Right.
So I said, all right, I'll see if I can squeeze it in between what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I went to Ancestry because I had used them before. And so I went in, logged in, set everything up. I'm doing the family history and I'm looking at different, they give you little leaves to follow.
Mm-hmm.
See if what information I have matches the legal stuff that they have, right. Birth certificates, marriage certificates, things like that. And they had a photo and I'm going, that's Grandma Henderson's tombstone. And I look at whose tree it's on and I'm going, I don't know of any Browns in the family. So I email the person and I say, somehow we have to be related because you have my great-grandmother Henderson's tombstone on your family tree. And I signed it Becky because that's what everybody calls me. And I get this little letter back saying, you must be one of Aunt Velma's grandchildren.
Wow.
Grandma Henderson was my grandmother. My mother would have been your great Aunt Irma. And I'm going, I know Aunt Irma. And her last name was Papinaw. This is her only daughter, who was named after her grandmother. Grandma Henderson is my great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
She was my grandmother's grandmother. And I'm going, wait a minute. I have living relatives I don't know?
Mm-hmm.
And my great-grandmother had 13 children. Her first two boys were stillborn. Then she had twins, William Charles and Charles Adrain, Willie and Charlie. Willie died at age 8 or 10 of influenza that went through at that time. I think that's what it was. Charlie grew up, none of us knew until recently that he got married, and his granddaughter got a hold of Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have found since then, in the last couple of weeks, his marriage certificate. And yes, this girl is his granddaughter.
Right.
But Charlie and my grandfather, Edgar, went out to Wyoming to work on the railroad. And they were gone over a year. And Grandpa wired home. They'd finished the railroad. They collected their pay and they'd be on the next train back to Rich Hill, Missouri, Rich Hill, Kansas, one of those. But I know it was Rich Hill. Grandma got a telegram the next morning. They had been murdered in the train yard.
Oh, wow.
For their pay.
Wow.
They were coming home in caskets.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. The next two were twins. That would have been my Aunt Irma and my Uncle Ernest. Uncle Ern divorced his first wife. He had four children, two boys and two girls, and married his second wife, who was supposedly years younger.
Right.
And I'm thinking May December marriage. No, she was maybe 4 years younger. Moved to Kentucky. He was born in Kentucky, is born in Western Kentucky. And I'm looking and he's got a son who's deceased and a daughter who lives somewhere in Kentucky. And I moved down here and I'm going, I have a cousin down here somewhere. I wonder where. And I pulled up the family tree and I went looking and I see that I have it in my tree already. Uncle Ern was buried in Somerset, Kentucky. That's 22 miles east of me. That's the big town where I do all my shopping. So I get a hold of Kathy and say, Uncle Ern had a daughter named Jackie. Yeah, she's still alive. Where the heck is she? I don't know, somewhere in Somerset, Kentucky. She's on Facebook. This is her name. Go friend her. So I go on to Facebook and I look this person up and I say, I understand that your father, my Uncle Ern, is buried in Somerset. You have a brother who died. Is he also buried in Somerset?
Right.
I said, because I live in Nancy. And I get this email back about 2 days later going, you live in Nancy? How are we related? I said, your dad was my grandmother's brother. Because there were two sisters after Uncle Ern and Aunt Irma, and then my grandmother, and there were two sisters and a brother after that. And I knew the two sisters and the younger brother. And I think Uncle Tom came between the two girls because Aunt Polly was the youngest. And really, she lives in Science Hill, 30 minutes away. I actually met Jackie. Unfortunately, I met her at her mother's funeral. I never knew Aunt Kathy. I don't remember Aunt Gladys. She was his first wife. And when I asked my dad about Uncle Ern's boys, he said, the nicest thing I can say is they went sideways of the law. And they're somewhere in the Detroit area. He said, Uncle Ern's girls are down there and they're doing fine. And I'm going, I didn't know he had girls until Dad said that.
Right.
I thought Jackie was the only girl. So that's where it started. Over Thanksgiving this year, I had a younger cousin, a third cousin, who made a lunch date with me. We met at 2:45 and we didn't finish lunch until 5:45. And I had taken my laptop and we went through the Henderson side of the family, just the Hendersons,
Right.
not any of the grandmothers. All the way back to my 26th, his 27th great grandfather.
Right.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
The history there is he was a baron who owned Fife Fordell Castle in Fife, Scotland. His four boys, three of them were bodyguards to King James.
Right.
The fourth one was one of the scribes that helped write the King James Version of the Bible.
Wow.
And Ryan's look at me like, how did I not know this?
Right.
I said, well, let's go back and look at Grandma Henderson's side. And if we follow it through the Adams, John Quincy Adams was your great uncle, I forget how many times removed. John Adams was a grandfather. And Abigail married into the family. So two presidents and a first lady all right there in the same family.
Right.
And then we went back and found out that Samuel Adams, who fought in the Revolutionary War, is an uncle. And his father is a grandfather who was a lieutenant during the War of 1812.
Wow.
And he said, how did I not know this? And I said, well, on one of your grandmother's sides, George, oh, who is he? Starts with a B. Bradford, the first governor of Plymouth Rock, is your grandfather.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Now,
And
what? Go
he's
ahead.
like dumbfounded. And he says, we're going to have to talk again. And I said, I'll be back up at Christmas time. He says, no, I think I'm taking a road trip to Montana and Utah and Idaho. I said, okay, fine. I said, I'll be back up in August. And I emailed him later and I said, do you know where Captain Joe's is off exit 52 or 53 there on 23? He said, I sometimes stop there for lunch on my way north in August and on my way back when I'm headed home. And I got a text from him and he's laughing. He says, I know where it's at. When I delivered groceries, I used to deliver to them. I've never eaten there though. And I said, it's great food. I have friends who live about 5 minutes from there. And a lot of times I'll let them know when I'm coming through and we'll meet for lunch.
Right.
So yeah, I know very well how to find Captain Joe's and I know their food's good.
And what are some of the most cherished traditions, values, or culture practices that you hold dear and believe contribute to your overall well-being?
One of them was the day after Christmas every year. Until 1973. So 72 would have been the last Christmas.
Right.
We went to visit my great grandmother. Okay. All of us converged on grandmas.
Right.
Yeah. Granny Vigus was the center of everything. She was 4 foot 11 at her tallest and probably 4 foot eight when she died. And she was very soft spoken, but she was the hub that held us all together. And so everybody would bring a dish to pass. She had the turkey, she had the dressing, she had the mashed potatoes and gravy. There were salads and casseroles and rolls and you name it, we had it. And we'd all eat in the basement, and a bunch of the kids would go Christmas caroling in the neighborhood, and the neighbors gave them money. And so whoever was the oldest in the group held the money and came back, counted it out, and figured out how many kids were there. And you may only get 30 cents out of it. But you got this for making other people happy.
I like that. Are
Just a
there?
bunch of kids going out. And they didn't go out with the idea that they were going to get money. Gran always gave us all $2 for Christmas. And then she made what she called plum pudding. There are no plums in the plum pudding. There are currants and raisins, but there are no plums. But she made it at Thanksgiving and then hung it from a rafter in white cheesecloth and just let it age for a month. She took it off the rafter after dinner and dropped it in boiling water with cheesecloth and all, brought it out and put it on a dish. And she made hard sauce with condensed milk and something else. She would slice it warm and pour the hard sauce all around the top. And it would just drizzle down the sides because it was made in probably a bundt pan. And we all had that along with pumpkin pie and apple pie and whatever other kind of pie. And she made tarts. She rolled out pie dough and she put raspberry jam all over it.
Now, are there specific hobbies or activities or interests that you found particularly engaging or stimulating to your mind?
I do crossword puzzles. I love crossword puzzles. I do jigsaw puzzles. Those are related to the mind. Legacy writing helps the mind because taking these memories and actually physically writing them on paper makes all the neurons that make your brain work fire rapidly. They have to fire and be ignited, and then they start growing again because they're firing all over the place in your brain. Because the act of actually thinking and writing make these neurons work, which is why crossword puzzles, jigsaw puzzles, strategy games, hidden pictures, those are all one card games where you have to know who's played what in order to compete in a card game. Pinochle, euchre, things like that. I play solitaire, all different kinds of solitaire, just because I have to be thinking strategically about if I do this, what happens next. That keeps the neurons active.
How do you feel like that legacy writing has really improved your brain health over the years as you're getting older?
I forget less. I don't find myself often walking into a room saying, "What the heck was I after?" Which is a good thing at my age. I'm more alert when I'm driving. It's like I use it as a strategy game. I have to watch the other guy so I can anticipate what he or she might do and be prepared for it. Especially if you are on the expressway in a high traffic area. I was going home for Thanksgiving, and I'm driving the day I got in the day before, and some guy was in the fourth lane of traffic. I'm in the second from the right. I'm not moving real fast. Speed limit, but not any faster. I don't feel the need to drive five over right now. This guy cut across the guy beside me, almost took out the front end of my car, cut across the guy next to him, and shot into the exit between two cars. And I'm thinking, does he not realize this is how accidents happen?
I think, with all these great examples you're showing, someone might say, wow, I want to start doing legacy writing. And I'm sure too, when you coach people and you do all these different classes, you have all different age groups, participating in legacy writing. But how does someone begin legacy writing? Like, what's the best strategies and the best things to do to start in legacy
The
writing?
very best way to do something.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Is to go through the old photo albums. Pick one photo that has a lasting memory for you, one that made you feel good. It was just, and when you go through the albums with the kids, that'll be the one you generally zero in on, and you tell the story behind that picture. Take that picture, write that story. That's as simple, and it may only be a page long. And that's perfect because what you're going to do is you're going to take that picture and scan it into your computer. And if it's not black and white, you're going to make it black and white on your computer because you're not damaging the picture. And you have an illustration for that page. If you don't have You have a memory, but you don't have an illustration for that page. I'm getting really good at doing AI illustrations. I had a writing assignment at a writer's workshop I went to in Ann Arbor, Michigan, years ago. I don't even remember how long. The assignment stuck with me, though. They said, take someone you know very, very well and think of an attribute that they have. Write about that physical attribute that they have. I wrote about a half a page about my grandfather's hands. Grandpa's hands were always rough, chafed, cracked, and they always smelled like bag balm because that's what he put on them after he washed them. He'd take his shower, wash his hands a second time, and put the bag balm on. He was a brick mason. It was the brick because he never used gloves, he just used his hands. It was the brick, it was the stone, it was all that he worked with. The fireplaces, the houses that he bricked, they still stand. And I can go places and point them out to you. Grandpa's been dead since 1977. My daughter was 4 months old when he died. He's gone. But I remember his rough hands. I also remember the fact that when he played the concertina, the cheese box, his hands danced on those little buttons as he pulled the squeeze box in and out. And the music was beautiful. And he'd sing to us some of the silly songs. Then he would take the mouth organ and he'd put that up to his mouth. And the music he made, and he made it with his hands covering and uncovering the different spots on the mouth organ, was absolutely heaven sent. And I knew when he wrapped me in his arms, I was loved. And I used that in a post about legacy writing. And I posted it on Facebook, and my sister cried. She hadn't thought about it, but she remembered too. So yeah, it's very hard to write some. It's much easier to write others. It was very hard to write the 2 pages about breaking my brother's leg when he was 2.5 years old because I pushed him down a slide. I could not find in any of our pictures a picture of the slide. So I went to AI and had them do a graphic, and they came pretty close. They had a cage at the top. There was no cage at the top when I was a kid. They had the slide part right. And that was the important part. A lot of AIs had different ideas of what a slide was. So, yeah, it is. It's very, very emotional. And you only do them one story at a time. I have six, I think, maybe eight. Which is 24 pages. Each story starts a new page. I have a couple more I want to put in there. I want it to be 32 pages. And I wanted it done for Christmas. It's not going to happen. So when it gets done, I will just send it to each of my grandchildren and my daughter. And I skipped ahead in what I was doing as memory to when my daughter was little. And I want that in there. Just to show that it continues. And eventually, I'm going to get around to having to write the family history. And I'm going to do it as legacy writing.
I like that.
My mother's family. Theirs has been done. It's in a booklet. It's got each tree. They're all laid out. All I have to do is flip to it. Her father's mother, we got theirs, and mom had to fill in her children, and we were middle school, high school, elementary school at that point. I hadn't graduated. I wasn't more than 16. And she sent it back, and they sent her the whole family tree. No one can find it. It's in the Toronto archives. I got on a Facebook page that said Gee family. Grandma was a Gee. In fact, she was the 13th in her family. And sure enough, I have cousins in Canada I didn't know I had. And one of them is going to see if she can get a copy for both of us. And I said, let me know what it costs you because I don't want you to incur a cost on my account. But I found out if Canada doesn't change their citizenship rules, I may be able to get dual citizenship. I can get dual citizenship in the UK because my grandfather was born there. My father is first generation American, and I am the oldest of the first generation or second generation American. So I may apply for that too.
How have you found that legacy writing? Has it helped you realize who you are as a person? Has it helped you develop
Oh,
understanding of yourself?
yeah, it does. It connects me in a way I never thought it would. I never saw myself as a princess. I am the granddaughter of kings. And that, when I first found out, was a really scary thought. William the, no, Robert the Bruce, the last king of Scotland, is my great grandfather, I forget how many times removed. So yeah, I'm Scottish royalty. Fordal Castle still stands. And what was it? Probably 14 years ago, it was for sale. I did not have anywhere near the $5 million asking price. If I had, I'd have bought it. And with it, you could have bought the title that went with it. So I would have been a baroness, which is one step below a duchess.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that it would have been worth it to me to do that. I don't know who bought it.
The services that you provide, like what are some of the type of services that you provide? Because you do a lot of different writings and,
I have a writing book titled Let's Write Fiction, Peers, Fears, Confidence book. I am creating a course for 2025 based on that book. And that's one you'll be able to buy with the book and the course and just take it at your leisure. I have a Facebook group that once you have purchased something in my writing, you have automatic lifetime membership in this group. And you can go there, ask questions. I pop in there, try to pop in there every day to answer them, but you can get answers from other writers. I try to pop in with videos that might help along the way. Things you need to be aware of in the changing publishing industry, because it is changing almost every day. The algorithms with Facebook change every day. I know they do, because people I could reach one day, I can't reach now. It's crazy. If I need to advertise something, I just create a post and I tag everybody that needs to see that post.
Do you do coaching?
I do coaching. If you are partway through a novel and you're stuck, I'm the person you want to see. I'm the person who will help you get it finished. One-on-one coaching is a little more expensive, but I do it.
And do you do group coaching also?
Pardon? I
Do
do
you
group coaching. I do group coaching. That's a little less expensive. I am doing on January the 8th, that's a Wednesday, an 11 a.m., a 2 p.m., and a 6:30 p.m. live. It's a Zoom, but the link will be in Facebook. If you see any place that I'm doing this, The Zoom link will be there. It's on legacy writing, and I'm asking everybody bring a piece of paper, a pen or pencil, and a favorite memory picture.
I love it.
And the idea is to get you started.
That's awesome. Where can people find your books?
My book is on my website or at Amazon or Barnes and Noble. My website is my name, RebeccaLigas.com. And just look under books. It might even be on the first page, but if it's not, it is definitely under books. All of my books are there, all of the current ones. I'm doing the legacy book for two reasons. One, I want to have a couple copies so people can see what I've done
Right.
and understand that this is a little tiny book. We're not talking, a novel. We're
Right.
not asking you to write 50, 60, 70, 80, 100,000 words.
Right.
That would be insane. And I generally don't ask first-time writers to do that unless they are dead set on writing a novel. Know that 50,000 words is approximately 157 pages.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
So it's broken down. And I could figure it out for the rest of them. That one I know off the top of my head because I did National Novel Writing Month a couple of years, and finished novels both months. And know that it is approximately 157 pages. Could be 159, could be 156, but it's right in that ballpark.
That's great. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you really wanted to really emphasize on some important factors, what would be some of the things you'd like to emphasize on?
Know that you're just writing memories. So it I'm you don't have to make up anything.
Right.
Okay. Know that when you are writing, you are activating neurons that will prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. It cannot completely cure them. If you're going to get it, you will eventually get it. But the more you do to keep your brain active,
Right.
the less likely you are to get it. And
Exactly.
yes, it does run in families. I believe my great grandmother had it because when we were together, I would have to walk up to her and say, "Hi, Grandma, I'm Becky. I belong to Billy." And she would say, "Oh, Becky, I just love seeing you. How have you been?" And I would tell her, and she'd say, "You go scamper off with the other kids." And that was our conversation. Any more than that, she could not do.
Right.
My grandmother, her two younger sisters, all three of them died of Alzheimer's. My Aunt Edna, the one just younger than grandma, has a daughter who is, I don't think she's 10 years older than I am, maybe 8. Who had early onset and is now in a nursing home.
Wow. Where can people find your website?
It's my name, Rebecca Vigus dot com.
I love it. This has been amazing, Rebecca. I am so glad you came today to talk about legacy writing. I know a lot of people, last time you spoke about legacy writing, a lot of people were interested in it. It's something that I think is really great because I think, it psychologically it could help people bring, emotions to the table that they didn't even know were there. It could bring back memories. It can stimulate your mind and keep your mind active and going, like you said, so you can avoid things like, possibly avoid like Alzheimer's or dementia. And it's joyful writing. It's remembering
It
memories.
is.
And
It really is.
it's a great way to bring happiness. It's a great way to get even people who've gone through things in their life and they need to just remember certain things and just, connect with certain things to make themselves feel better. It could be a healing. It could be a way of expressing joy and happiness, and it could be a way of helping yourself mentally. So it's really a great thing to really tap into and try. And I suggest everyone, maybe try to tap into legacy writing, maybe even get a little journal and just start writing. But for everybody who wants to learn how to legacy write and really wants to learn how to tap into themselves, I would suggest going to Rebecca. She's a great legacy writer. And I thank you so much for being on the show today. You are amazing.
Thank you for having me. I have enjoyed this.
Oh, me too. Me too. And you have a great day.
You too.